Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cicerino. Nicole, how are you?
I am really good.
Yes, okay, well, Nicole...
Was that convincing?
Somewhat. And you didn't say, I'm fine. So I'll take what I can get.
Mm-hmm.
So Nicole is here, and we're very pumped up today. We have a very special episode of the podcast coming up that we are going to be doing our first double date podcast in quite some time. We're going to talk to Dominic and Kristen Abate, Nicole's BFF.
Forever.
Yes. So we got to hang out with them a lot when we were back in New York this fall. So thought that would be a fun catch up. We wanted to time this with the family visit. And so that's what we're going to do here today. So we'll get Dominic and Kristen here on the line with us here in a moment. Let me just thank a sponsor before we get into that. Those are our friends over at Brooklinen, Nicole's favorite, because everybody knows Nicole loves to be sleeping.
There's nothing I'd rather be doing.
That's her favorite thing to be doing, especially in the bedroom. And with
the only thing,
the number one thing that gets her excited to go in there, going to sleep. And that's why Nicole loves Brooklinen, because they give you the experience of a 5-star hotel sheet without a 5-star price.
Yes, and this is actually very fitting because I was on a quest.
A fitted sheet?
It's a fitted sheet. I was on a quest to find the perfect hotel quality sheets.
Yes.
But not spend a lot of money because Rob doesn't give me a big allowance.
Right. We don't have a big sheet budget around here. And that's why Brooklinen is great. They work directly with the manufacturers and directly with the customers without the middle person, meaning that they can give you those 5-star hotel quality sheets that are affordable and easy to order. And they don't just feel amazing, but they look great too. Mix and match over 20 plus colors and patterns. Plus, they have super fast shipping, which makes sure you can get your holiday gifts on time. Nicole, how have you been sleeping on the Brooklinen sheets?
Amazing. And did you know also when I was picking out my Brooklinen sheets, they have quite a big variety of patterns. And I actually texted Kristen to help me decide which pattern that I wanted.
She was a good resource.
She was a good resource, yeah.
Okay, so maybe if people tweet to her that she can weigh in on their sheets as well.
People should just tweet her pictures of sheets just nonstop.
Don't bother. Bother Nicole with that. Don't put the guests out there for that they're going to.
I think she would like it. Okay. She gives good advice.
That's not part of this offer, but you know what it is? Get $20 and free shipping when you use the promo code ROP at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets you'll ever sleep on. Now it's time for an upgrade. Brooklinen is giving you this exclusive offer, $20 in free shipping when you use promo code ROP at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product and their sheets, comforters, and towels that they come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code ROB at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code ROB, Brooklinen. These really are the best sheets ever. You'll be saying no
Stop
sleep
it.
Till Brooklinen.
Stop it. So embarrassing.
All right, Nicole, I'm very excited to bring in our guests here today. That this was, a idea that I've had for months that I've wanted to do this. And I'm so happy that we were able to get these two on the line.
Did you warn them about the podcast couple curse?
What is the podcast couple curse?
Whenever we do a double date podcast, the other couple breaks up.
Well, I think it'll be okay. I think it'll be okay. They've stood the test of time.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Please welcome the great runner-up from Survivor Ghost Island, Dominic Abate, and his loved one, Kristen Abate.
Thank you.
What's going on, guys?
How are you guys here on this loved ones edition of Rob is a Podcast?
Yeah, I'm concerned immediately about what Nicole said because my wife had one too many martinis last night, and we're concerned.
Yes.
Now I'm concerned. I'm worried that there might be some truth to that. But yeah. No, she was good last night. We had a good time. But
This isn't Ghost Island. There's no curses here that you have to
yes.
worry about.
But an MVP week of podcast this week with some of the guests you had on today. So I feel truly privileged to be on in the same week with that you had Tyson on and Bryce on.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah. Well, I don't know if we can. I'm hoping we can hold water to those guys, well, but we're gonna try. We're gonna have fun.
I'm really hoping that this couples thing is gonna work out okay because I'm talking to Jeremy and Val coming up on Thursday. So if this is a disaster, I think the people are gonna be very nervous going into me talking to Jeremy and Val later on this week.
They might not show up.
I don't know.
they're a solid couple. Those two, they're a solid couple.
I think they're the toughest couple. Like I wouldn't mess with them.
No, don't.
Well, look at then these guys also, yeah. The CrossFit couple.
Don't mess with anybody. How about that? Okay. All right. Let's first off, how are you guys doing this weekend?
We're doing good.
Tell them. Why don't you tell everyone how you're doing, babe?
I'm here.
Tell everybody how late you slept in today.
Yeah, I till 12:30. Thanks.
Oh my God, that sounds glorious. That sounds so good.
Like I said.
I mean, that was, yeah. It wasn't smooth because I was... The room was spinning most of the night, but
yeah, we went out last night. We did a few things. We had a few parties to attend to, and it got a little more wild than we had anticipated it would. But it was fun. Some of us paid the price for it this morning, but we're here.
But it's worth it.
It was worth it. It was a great time, and we're ready to roll.
I made that mistake, Nicole, that I didn't eat dinner because I wanted to have a flat belly in my outfit.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
The same thing happened to my friend Donna Martin one time, and it was it's got to make sure you eat before you go out. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about. We'll get into everything with the loved ones, but first, it's been so long since we heard from you, Dom, that we haven't talked to you on the podcast since way back when in week two when we did the Know It Alls. Do you want to weigh in at all with where we are at in this season of David versus Goliath?
Well, there's been a lot of feedback with what's been going on, so I know a lot of people. Probably share the same sentiment with the whole Christian thing that's going on and Angelina and Gabby. I think ultimately we all kind of agree on, where the characters are developing and where everyone's going. Ultimately, I love the season. I think it's great. I think there's so much dynamic in each character. There's, there's so much substance for, each and every player. It's so good to see that we're going into the final seven. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea where this game is headed. I mean, I personally can't say. I have my ideas. I have my theories. But it's really anyone's ball game at this point. And to me, that's the essence of a great season, when you just don't know what to expect episode by episode.
No, Dom, but I don't want you to be all, self-deprecating about, because I feel like that your whole cast is, you guys are laying it on too thick about this season. Oh, this season is so good that you guys don't have to poo-poo Ghost Island.
Well, I'm releasing
you guys from that.
I'm not poo-pooing on it, but
right,
I feel
Kristen,
like
that was a good season, Ghost Island, right?
It was all right.
It was great. It
could have been better. I'm not poo-pooing on my season, but what I will say, and I think many people will agree, is that you kind of had an idea who was going to win, one or two or possibly three of us were going to make it to the end and mm-hmm. take the game, where in this season it's really anyone's ball game. And like I said, I know what you mean. I have heard a lot of my cast come on and kind of crap on our season. But you know what it is? You try to really live up to it when you're out there playing. You want to go down as one of the greatest seasons. You want to go down as one of the greatest characters to ever play it. So You do try, but because the show is true and authentic, there are going to be those dips and valleys where you have episodes that just aren't these stellar epic episodes, and even periods of a season where you have three or four episodes in a row that are kind of like, oh, let's just get through these so we can get to the meat and potatoes. I just feel like this season doesn't have those dips. I feel like every episode kind of is bringing a good amount of action to each episode, which is keeping the viewers really on their toes mm-hmm. and looking forward to next week. I really want to see what happens next. And I just feel like in my season, that wasn't the case. We kind of knew where it was headed for the most part.
Let me ask you a quick question about this, because I would love to know, like in the real time when you were there, did it feel like that it was that you or Wendell were going to win no matter what? Or was there like, a sense like, you know what, really, Laurel could have this. Angela could have this. Seabass could have this. And what I'm trying to ask is, like, if you were going to edit, if the Giants Redskins game from today was a Survivor season, okay, hypothetically, like would they edit it where it's like it's a blowout, but would they edit it like, oh, it's a one possession game? I mean, is that, should they do that if it's not necessarily going to be a close game?
I mean, you're right, because for us, I mean, how the show is edited obviously has to keep it interesting. Like, our end game was the battle between Wendell and Dom. So the editing had to kind of follow that lead. You know what I mean? So it's really hard to say. But ultimately, you just – when I was out there playing, in other words, I felt like there were these moments. Like, I would even ask Wendell, like, I feel like there's no action. There's nothing going on. Like, why isn't anything happening? Or am I just so naive? There is so much going on and I'm just blind to it. Like, am I that naive or poor of a player that I'm not seeing what really is going on? And ultimately, I was right. I did know everything that was going on and really nothing was happening. So, you know what I mean? You know, how it feels when you're out there versus how they edit. I mean, obviously, if you don't have that much gold, you have to develop the story in the best way that you can that leaves the viewers, you know, wanting to see more. And like I said, I think my season was a little bit tougher to do that with because I think a lot of the big players went out early in the season.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
From someone that's never played. When you're out there, Dom and Rob, do you ever think – like I'm trying to be entertaining, or you're purely thinking I want to win this game?
Oh, let me answer this for Rob. Rob's whole life, he is pretending that he is in a confessional.
What? I don't know what Nicole is talking about, guys. Mm-hmm.
I can respond to that. For me, in the beginning of the game, you're trying to get your footing, right? So you're not trying to be extra charismatic. You're not trying to be entertaining. You're not trying to sound witty. You're kind of just trying to find your way. Mm-hmm. And then once I found my footing and I felt a certain level of comfort, then I felt more open to playing with it a little bit, you know, trying to play with the game, play with, you know, whatever resources I had in front of me, and not to overdo it, you know. You don't want to go out there and oversell something. You want it to still be authentic, but you're right. Once you have a certain level of comfort, for me, I felt like, yeah, why not have fun with it? And let's be a smart ass and respond in a certain way or do something in a certain way. Because at that point now let's have fun with this.
Yeah, and I think for me, that I think it's probably wanting to do both things simultaneously. But like, I don't know how appealing going on Survivor would be if it wasn't a TV show, where if it was just going to be, you know, hey, like there's a game, you go out there and maybe you could win money, but you know, it's not on TV. I'm not sure that I would have been drawn to, you know, going to go do this in the same way that I was, that it was going to be on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's interesting.
But you also first played in your 20s, right?
So, yes.
I mean, you didn't have the wife, the mortgage, the kids. So, like, for me, you can give me Survivor without TV. And if there's $1 million waiting at the end, I will go play it.
Yes. Okay.
You know what I mean? So I think it really depends where you are in your life. You know what I mean? Not to say that the TV aspect didn't entice me. Of course it did. I mean, being on TV is, you know, a pretty big thing. And, you know, you really put yourself out there. You know how it is. And it's intimidating. And then, like I said, once you can get past that part where you don't care anymore, like, it is what it is. This is what I look like. You're going to see the worst of me. I felt like that's the moment now that you can really let your hair down and enjoy it and be entertaining and do all those things that, you know, you think is good for the viewership.
Okay. Let's talk about the family visit this week, because that was how we originally scheduled this podcast on this week. Kristen, what was your reaction to seeing the family visit now as a viewer again this week?
Well, I was really, really hoping that it was Angelina's husband that was going to come running out. So I was a little disappointed that it was Anna, her mom. But it was emotional. It was great. It was an interesting dynamic, the same as Ghost Island, where it was mostly parents.
Yeah, I do think it was interesting that, you know, we didn't have anybody who, you know, Angelina's husband, I think, was unable to, I believe he had been deployed at the time that they were filming it, but we didn't have anybody who was in the same boat that you guys are in, of not just married, but also with a family.
Yes. So Angelina told me that she did think it was going to be her husband until Jeff literally said, you know, for her mom, Anna, to come out. So he wasn't deployed, but he ended up having to work. So they didn't really show how that she was so disappointed. It's not till you listen to her secret scene.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you doing talking to Angelina? You shouldn't be talking to Angelina.
It's in her secret scene.
Oh, secret scene. Oh.
But I know there was no one that had I was really hoping just to make it look like I'm not the only crazy one, that there was someone else out there was in a, you know, in a similar situation, because it's just the whole situation is just so unique. I mean, going to play Survivor is so unique. And then the specific situation that we were in is also very unique. I mean, not only do we have three children, but we have three small children. Chrissy has three or four kids, but her kids are teenagers. It's just different. It's different. You know, there's a, you know, the dynamic was different.
I think Angelina's mom brought as much fire.
Yeah, she was great.
As you did. Mm-hmm. On the sidelines, screaming her head off like you were.
Oh, she did.
Right?
I know.
Guys,
that was
kind of reminded me of you a little bit.
Yeah. But,
yeah, you need that cheering section. I thought it was weird. The kind of the roller coaster we went through with each person's loved one. Like, there was such different relationship styles, I think I want to call it, you know, just the way like Davey, like this, he's so genuine. And like, you really saw the kid in him come out. He just wanted to hug his mom. And then, but then like Allison with her mother was like, I don't know, it was just more conservative.
She was like, I love towering Karen. Over her mother.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Allison is so tall. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing. I loved Kara and her brother, Eric. I mean, Kara can make crying look beautiful. I mean, she's, and I love what she said.
Yeah.
I loved what she said about, I want to think that these people are my friends and I'm hoping they're my friends, but they are going to backstab me. But
She said something like, she wants to consider these people to be friends, but she's not sure of their intentions. And that's the truth.
And that's a smart thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We saw Angelina's mom, you know, a little bit, you know, turn to the group and say, like, oh, this is the, you know, the kind of person my daughter is. Dominic, did you have any instructions for Kristen in terms of like, if you could give any instructions, is there anything that the loved one could come out and say that would help your game?
You know, it's such a weird thing because we didn't prepare properly, you know.
How could you?
We just didn't prepare. We didn't, first of all, like, let's pretend I didn't give her instructions, but let's pretend like giving instructions for the loved one visit is something that's important to do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as like, oh, if I make it to the loved one's visit and I didn't give my wife instructions, that's a good problem to have because I'm at the loved one visit.
You know,
so even if she, you know what I mean? So even if she comes out and botches or I say the wrong thing to her or whatever it may be, that's okay because look how far in the game I am at that point. I don't know. I think that's how I was thinking about it. You know what I mean? That's why I didn't like specifically discuss what we should talk about when.
I think there should be more strategy though going into it with the loved ones because. Yeah, you think so too, Nicole?
I think that people are now they're taking notes and they're like, all right, we got to, when they're on their way out, they're like talking and pepping up their loved ones now.
What should they, I mean, what's the ideal move?
So, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when you do prepare to go out there, they do give you a packet of like sort of rules, but I don't think anyone really reads through this packet. They just kind of like sign and get on the flight to Fiji.
Wait, what is it? A pack of rules?
A packet of
rules.
Rules.
Why would they give you rolls?
I was like, this person is this role. I was very confused.
I thought you meant like, you know, you went to the bakery and they
give you... Why would that be in a packet? That would be a bag.
But I don't even mean from Survivor. I mean like from your player to your loved one. There should be some kind of like guideline, strategy, rules, because I came to the loved one's visit with information that I learned on my trip that I could have given to Dom, like the fact that Michael was 18. I found that out on my loved one's trip because his mother told me. The fact, you know, things about Wendell and his family and how they're, you know, politicians and lawyers and they're not just furniture maker. Like things that I could have definitely fed to Dom or even the other way around.
But
you know,
and not even like intel regarding like what's really going on in the contestant's life. But that is a very big thing you could do. You could really dig into the other contestants' loved ones and really, you know, just learn about their loved one that's playing the game. And then when you do see your loved one, you really can feed them info. But like I said, I might have said this in one of our earlier podcasts, is that when we were at the reward, you know, I was sitting down with Kristen and she told me, you know, what's going on in the game. And I said, oh, I'm working with Wendell. And she said, you can't go to the end with Wendell because if he's anything like his father, you're going to lose. And I mean, and I just like, babe, you're not in the game. You don't know what you're talking about. I've been out here. I know what's going on. You know, take your information and stuff it. So, you
I
know,
hope you wrote an apology letter.
Yeah, Chris, you let him forget that one.
And I was so serious because really Wendell Sr. had really like swooned us. And at that point I had spent like 3 days with him. So he's just even more charismatic than Wendell. He's just amazing. So, you know, I was dead serious. I said, you cannot go to the end with Wendell because he's probably like his father. And he just laughed it off. And I, you know.
And I'm sitting there holding a fake idol, a real idol, laughing. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Silly you. You're just an amateur.
Yeah.
But I think that is a thing. And that's the whole other dynamic is that, you know, the loved ones do get to spend some time. You know, again, this is back talk. We're not really supposed to get into what they do or where they go or how it works. But, I mean, it's pretty well known that they get to spend some time together. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know that people are going to go so far and start, you know, strategically seeing if they could dig information out of their loved ones. I guess they could technically, but it's just more about how it all just really is this weird thing, how they come out. Like, we're out there for 7 weeks, and they come out for, like, a couple of days, like all the way from New York to Fiji, a 16-hour flight, you know, and it's like they come out just for a few days and then they're back. Or you can come all the way out and not even see your loved one.
Yeah.
And then turn around and have to go back. And that to me is just like, woof, it's just a crazy thing. But they've done it for so long and it continues to really be, I think, one of the highlight episodes of the season, the loved ones episode. And I don't care who you are. I mean, it gets you, you know, it always gets me.
All right. Well, let me disagree a little bit here because I feel like that, especially this time around, I felt like that it was missing a little something. I felt like that, you know, we have so many people that we, you know, we have 8 people to get through.
The Kristen factor was missing.
Yeah. I mean, that there was nothing that was, I didn't think that any of the reunions were like particularly, you know, lasting that you, with all due respect, that there was, I want to see like, I think it's gotten a little bit repetitive in terms of that we have 1 million people, let's bring all their loved ones out, let's cycle through everything. I want to get back to like, let's do something. We got these loved ones here. I want to rip it away from somebody of like, all right, yeah, everybody, you don't even get a hug. Or it's like only one person is going to get a loved one.
And the loved,
like,
ones have to do the challenges.
Yeah, get the loved ones back doing the challenge. Let's just like, Jeff was just like, let's just get right into it. All right, who wants love? And everybody's
yeah,
it's
I
like,
know.
It did feel
nice.
Rushed. It felt
too
rushed.
Nice.
It felt rushed. And you're right there. And is
let's get some stakes
like said,
here.
Yeah. Like you said, no disrespect to any of them, but it did feel like there wasn't that one or two contestants that like you couldn't wait to see the union of that person with their loved one. It was just – and it was weird. You're right. Jeff kind of just was like, all right, next, next. Who's that?
Yeah, I didn't feel like Jeff was super excited for it.
Yeah. Right? Like in my season, I remember
like
with
he
Angela.
He was like into it.
Yeah,
it was he was pumped up when – I mean for our yeah. – at least behind the scenes, he was pumped up.
Like when Angela came out and she, you know, the military and he got all choked up.
Yeah,
like that was
cried.
Like – we were all pretty choked up there, you know. I don't know. You're right.
But, I feel like we just need to, like, you know, it's just a little bit like, you know, old hat, where it's this. I feel like that we've gotten into a point where, and this is when I think that Survivor needs to mix it up a little bit, where it's just like,
you know,
everybody comes up. It's like, you know, you get, oh, hey, I'm at the final eight. I know I'm going to get to see my loved one. And I mean, I don't know, honestly, because, you know, I didn't go through an experience like this, but I kind of feel like that if you got to the beach, you gave a hug to your loved one, that if you didn't get to have the barbecue with them, I feel like you still got to see them, you still got to hug them. I feel like that's still nice. What I mean, what do you think, Dom?
I hear you saying. No, I hear you saying it.
You get to have the moment with them, reunited, and then okay, so you didn't get to have then lunch with them also.
So you wouldn't be disappointed if I came out there and I gave you a hug and then that was it?
And then, you know, look, I'd like to get picked to go to the challenge, but at least I would be like, oh my God, I saw my wife today. Oh, this is great.
No, but you wouldn't feel like that, Rob, because what was missing is that I didn't even get to have a conversation with him. Not even like he didn't get if I didn't get to go on the reward, he would have have a conversation.
Nicole, I don't know what you heard there. But she was trying to make out with me. It was disgusting.
He wouldn't even kiss me.
You don't want any part of this right now. Mm-hmm. She's like, get over here.
I'm like, there's a bathroom.
She was trying to put me in the bathroom on the reward. It was like a shack on the side.
No, but if I didn't get to go on that reward, I would have never even been able to say, how are you really? Or he couldn't have said, how are the kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like it. So, I mean, Gabby said in one of her confessionals that she was totally fine because, yeah, it was her mom. But in our case, like if I didn't get to go on that reward, I don't know if I would have been okay. I would have felt like I just flew all the way out here, was given a day's notice to find childcare for my three kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're flying me all the way out here and I'm not going to even be able to have a conversation with my husband, even if it's just 2 minutes long. That's all I wanted. I just wanted a conversation.
And he denied the makeout sesh.
He denied the makeout.
We know the rules going into it. We know what we signed up for. So if you're denied that, that's the way it goes. And that's what that's the gamble, you know, and that's what we decided that we're willing to risk by doing this. So it is that. And that's, you know, you got to accept it if it goes bad for you.
But what if one of the loved ones, when they're saying like, okay, time to walk off. And then one of the loved ones is like, no, wait, I'm getting another hug. And they like run off. Cause hey, I feel like I would do that.
To do with Emily because that, you know, that Christian and Emily didn't even get to give each other like one last hug. I would have been like tearing through there. No, I want one last hug.
Well, yeah, I don't know what would happen if Jeff would have to tackle you or if the producers
would
come in. But, you know,
I know the guy's name that would stop you, but yeah, I won't say it.
Yeah. Here's what I want. I want you can see, you know, that the loved one is like across the way on like another island and you can see them. You can see them. But only if you win, you get to then hug them.
Yes. That would be
a terrible idea.
Yeah. Why is it terrible?
Or on the barge.
That's not good. No, that's not going to be good TV when then somebody is just destroyed that they didn't get to see their loved one.
First of all, is there an island close enough? Or are they out on a boat?
Not an island. They're at a barge. Said, a barge. Oh. Yeah, and you pull the rope. Every time you get something right, you pull the rope closer.
The barge. That's good. The barge that they went to the barbecue. That's where the loved ones are on that thing. Okay? It's like you can see your loved one. Nicole, how does it feel? Your husband is right there.
Hi, honey.
No, it would not be like that.
Do Survivor trivia, and if you answer the question, you move up three spaces.
Oh, we lost.
I definitely think they should include the loved ones in something because that would have.
They used to do that.
Yeah,
they used to have.
I was praying it like something with like agility or something that no one else would be able to do it.
Didn't they used to do the gross food challenge with the loved ones?
They've done a lot of different things. They've just they've done it the same way for a bunch of seasons. Now, I mean, I think since like the blood versus water seasons, I feel like, you know, it's been pretty similar how they've done the loved ones challenge. They just, you know, bring out a million loved ones and then one after another.
Yeah.
I think what would really, really change things up is if they changed it where whoever wins gets to pick two or three people, because people are using that as a strategy, you know, for their game
That's what they do now.
Yeah. But if they stopped.
Oh, if they stop.
Like Angelina was banking on, she said this in her secret scene, was banking on this to use for her resume because she wanted to win and then she wanted to pick two or three people so that now they're indebted to her. So if you take that away, it kind of changes. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like have it only be the winner gets to go have lunch.
That's no good because you have to leave some people sour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the way Sebastian left Laurel and Kellen and Chelsea back at camp, they were fuming. And that would have incited a revolt. It should have incited a revolt. It didn't.
Yeah.
So I think you need to leave that element in where you're picking favorites. That's a huge part of it. You have to keep that in. But I definitely think it's something has to happen to make it more ruthless, though. You're right. I think it's gotta tease people. Yeah, I think the barge idea is great. Pull them closer.
Yeah,
like you're almost there. You could almost touch them. Yeah.
Now, Dominic, the idea of what Kristen is talking about from the secret scene of the thought, hey, I'm gonna bring people to the loved ones' reward so that I get their jury votes. Do you think that is that a good thought process or is that flawed reasoning?
Well, I think the problem is that it's not close enough to the end. So even if people respect you for taking them in the moment, it might not hold up until final tribal. And the other thing is that, like I said, you're going to – for every person you please, there's going to be a person you piss off. So if you're not – if you're going to do it for that reason, you have to take bitter people with you on the reward and leave people that respect game for game back at camp so that you at least can say, look, I know I didn't take you, but you get it. You play this game. You respect my game. Let's leave that whole thing behind us and just look at what we actually did in the game. It's really a tough balance. You don't know what the reasoning is. When I was fighting to, you know, I've studied this game for years before I played it. And I always told myself, don't ever win the loved one reward. Don't ever win the loved one reward. Just throw it, throw it, throw it. But you get there and that goes out the window. You say, screw this. I'll do damage control later. I'm hanging out with my wife and I'm eating a meal right now.
And so, I threatened you. Yeah, when
what do you mean you threatened to?
Threatened him.
I threatened him. Oh. I threatened him. So you see us like embrace and I kiss him, but as I'm embracing him, I'm whispering in his ear and I'm like, don't let this be for nothing. You better win this.
She looks at me and like digs her nails into my arms and is like, you son of a bitch, you better win this. So you see the aggression in her while we're in it. So
no pressure.
Dom, did you consider at the final tribal council saying, like, guys, if I don't win this, my wife is going to kill me?
You know, it was definitely in the it was on the shelf as a go-to if needed. But
I knew
you know what the
guys,
thing is.
You don't understand.
I tell you what, you say it. You say it as a joke, but if you could say it in a way that's humorous, you can get someone that's on the fence to laugh. You just won the game. At least in my case, you know what I mean? So even if like those are my last words, like, guys, I appreciate you letting me say everything I wanted to. But just one more thing before I go. If I don't come home with this million, my wife's going to divorce me. Something along those lines as a joke in a way that's funny. You know, it's possible you can make one person laugh that wasn't sure which way to go, Wendell or me. And that could have sold it. You just don't. It's so hard in that. At that end game, you don't know what's going to make someone laugh and someone look at you and be like, really? Did you just say that?
You're
you know
a jerk.
I mean? Right.
Yeah. You deserve that divorce.
Can't believe Dominic just said that. Screw him.
So when you're out there doing Final Tribal, you don't know how much of the gas to push. You know what I mean? So it's tough. But
I took it so personal that Sebastian and Donathan didn't vote for Dom because we all bonded on that reward. We were like – chummy, but, crying,
but
laughing.
Like I said, you bonded way earlier.
I know. It was too far away.
There was so much
more
that happened.
They have to change it today, like 36.
Yeah, right after the reward. She took it personal, everybody.
Interestingly, Dalton Ross had tweeted the other night about wanting to throw the loved ones challenge, especially because there's so many people get to go and then you inevitably piss people off. Our good friend Chrissy Hoffbeck responded to that tweet and said, this is why the marble draw was in all reality a great challenge because it was impossible to throw. And I don't think we really picked up on that at the time where when they did
did the black or white rock challenge, which was one of Nicole's favorites.
Loved it.
Yes. And that they made a challenge for the loved ones visit, which was impossible to throw. But I guess the question is, yeah, that are people, when you get to the loved ones challenge, are people actually trying to throw it?
I don't think so. If I could be wrong, but I've never heard of a case in 37 seasons of anyone throwing the loved ones challenge.
Unless you purposely pick a loved one that you really don't like.
Oh, is that a good move?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Wendell said. I don't think it's a secret. He had a girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And,
That was on the show.
Okay, good. And, was very curious why he didn't ask his girlfriend and instead of his dad. And he said, because it was all gameplay. Like, he just wanted to stay focused. He didn't want anything, even though he cried his eyes out when he saw his dad, but he said he would have just been a mush if it was his mom or his girlfriend that he needed.
And look at what he ultimately ended up doing. He went to Ghost Island and was able to walk away from his father.
Right. Yeah.
Which
right.
is huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge. He had a reward, a meal.
Poor Wendell Sr.
Wendell Sr.
I'm sure he got a nice parting gift.
He didn't care.
Yeah, right. But, and I don't think I don't know that it necessarily made the difference in the game for him. It might have. You know,
he
people might
head
have been
straight.
Like,
okay, well, let me tie this together because then, Dominic, you tweeted the other night. You said, it's odd. There's a slight bit of jealousy when you see your closest ally in the game meet up with their loved ones. When at Wendell Holland saw his pops, I was so happy for him, but also had the revelation that my bond with him was light years from his with his dad. It wakes you up. And that was sort of what we saw in this episode with Gabby and Christian.
Yes. And I think the tweet was in regards to the Gabby and Christian thing.
Yes.
I think that most people are sitting out here saying, oh, Gabby wanted to get rid of Christian because she was jealous of Christian's girlfriend. And that's not the case. It's not what I believe at all.
Right.
I mean, maybe it was. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't. I think we'd say it wasn't.
Right. So what I meant by that is that you're in the game, you find an ally, and you tell yourself while you're playing the game, like, this is my person. This is my go-to. This is the one person I can completely just spill everything to. And you know when you're playing the game, like, oh, and when this game's over, this person's going to be my tightest forever. We're going to be, you know,
BFFs
forever. Wendell's going to be my boy for life after this. Mm-hmm. Look how good we work together. Look how real we are. Look, it's just the strongest bond you develop in the game. And then once you see someone from his real world come into the game, it's a complete awakening. And again, it's not to say that he or I was not genuine with each other. We played the game great. We were very good friends throughout the game. We are still very good friends to this day. But it is a wake-up call. And it reminds you that, yes, this person who I am completely confiding in is that person to me in the game, does not necessarily mean that this person is that person to me in real life. And what that tells you is this person does not want me to win. This person wants mm-hmm. themselves to win. So I need to, I think why I tweeted that was to show people that maybe couldn't understand why Gabby did what she did this week. I think that's the most relatable way to say it, is that you just see the person who you confide in with someone in their real life, and it just wakes you up and says, holy shit, this person doesn't care. I mean, they care about me, but they're going to stop me in any way they can to win. This is not – they don't want me to have this money. I think she even said those words.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have said it better. So – that's what I meant by that tweet. It's not a jealousy in an intimate way. It's just a wake up call. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So this week we saw Gabby then make this big move against her closest ally because she felt like that she couldn't beat him in the end. Dom, did you think that this was the right week for that move?
Well, you know, it's what is it? 8 left. You know. It's really tough. It's really tough because everything does have to step up one move earlier now because of Final Four fire making.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something you really need to take into consideration, because it's no longer about just getting down to final five. You really have to do something at 8, 7, or 6. And I know that from experience of playing now, you know what I mean? Even for me now, you know, I kept saying I didn't know when I could take a shot at Wendell. And I really think I could have at 8 when we got rid of Chelsea. I think there was enough people that were willing to do it. Obviously, I was fearful that I would be next, though. And I think Gabby kind of had herself in a similar spot, but she just decided to go for it. And I don't blame her or fault her for it. I really wish we saw more dynamic into the inner workings of the conversation she had. I feel like we missed a little bit. You know what I mean? She seems intelligent enough where I believe she had a lot of one-on-ones. It showed a few scenes where she was in camp with, I think, Nick and Davey, and kind of just said, look, I know this sounds like a 180, but here's what I'm thinking. And they were like, yeah, we're on board with it. But I think before she did that, I think she probably built a foundation first with some people that she thought she could, you know, rely on and trust. And then maybe she kind of presented it to them. I don't know. But as far as the timing being right, it's really hard to tell, because if you think – you have an opportunity to take the shot at 8, and you think enough people are with you, what makes that any different than doing it at 7 or 6 if you have a clear shot? Now, you know, it really depends on circumstances. And maybe she was getting a little confident from the prior vote. You know, she kind of was in control of that one. And she might have thought that she still yielded some power, that maybe her voice carried a little bit of the way, where she can say something and people kind of be like, all right, Gabby, we like what you're saying. Let's go for it. Yeah. So it could have been a combination of those things. I'm not really sure how to really answer that, because 8, 7, or 6, it's really tough.
I mean, if she would have waited one more
I mean, yeah,
challenge, she could have potentially had immunity if she would have.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because I mean, I hadn't really thought of it in terms of you and Wendell, but you know, you have two people that have been together, basically, you know, close allies since the beginning of the game. You guys did spend a little bit of time apart, and they haven't in the game, but you know, they've been making the same moves. Now, she felt more like that the jury was going to see it as a slam dunk for Christian, her versus Christian, as opposed to, I don't know how you saw it, you versus Wendell, where if you looked at it as a toss up most of the way. So that, I think, also complicates the decision. But I just think that, like, when you're sort of like in the trenches with somebody, that I think that there's just too much daylight between 8 and the end of the game to take that person out before you can really see what's over the horizon. That's a lot of metaphors.
Right. No, yeah. No, you're right, because you're right. This is the one person you work with the whole game. Now you're going to cut that person's throat.
Because it's open season on you then after that.
Exactly. What's your next move? Exactly. They're going to be like, well, that was easy. Let's just get his right-hand girl out now. So it's true. She didn't really have like steps B, C, and D. She only knew what she wanted to do in the moment. And that's not how you should think, especially this deep in the game. You have to be able to say, all right, it's almost like the episode showed Gabby woke up and said, oh, wow, I just had an epiphany. I should get Christian out. You know what I mean? Where I think for me, when I woke up with 8 people left in the game, I was like, yeah, here's who's going home at 8. Here's who's going home at 7. Here's who's going home at 6. And I know the path in which I'm going to take to get there. And if it goes bad, it goes bad. But I know that that's the plan I want to execute, where I feel like they had Gabby almost had an epiphany at the loved one visit. That's almost how it appears. I'm not saying that that's true. The editing may have presented it that way. But it seemed like after the loved ones, she came back to camp and was like, oh, I just had a great idea. I need to do something in this game, and I think we should take out Christian. So she didn't really have much to back that up. After she did that, what happens next, Gabby? And whether she had that plan or not, we didn't see any of it. So to me, it didn't look like it was executed properly.
To me, I feel like that Christian now, without an idol, in the same way that I felt like that, you know, if you go for Wendell or Wendell goes for you, it's sort of open season on the other one. Is Christian's goose cooked now?
I mean, there's no way that there's anyone in the game that still wants to go to the end with Christian. So he's got to find another idol. There's, as far as I'm concerned, you heard comments from every player out there saying, yeah, no one's going to beat him at Final Tribal. No one's going to beat him at Final Tribal. And it's the same. I can only compare it to people who are left in the game for me at that many, at that few play, you know, few people left. I mean, I wouldn't say there was anyone as magnetic as Christian to compare to my season, but there were still really likable people that I knew the jury was really going to warm up to. And Sebastian was one of them.
Kellen, Donovan,
you know, there's a few people out there that, you know, you just don't want to sit there next to because there's a likability factor that's just – that could potentially – you know, regardless of how well you play the game, if the likability factor is there, it could outdo you in votes. And, I feel I'm pretty sure the entire cast that's playing right now is fully aware that that is a potential risk of bringing him.
Kristen, have you been a big Christian fan this season?
I love Christian. Yes, I love Christian. I love Angelina. Davey, I don't know what he is. Like, what is he doing? Like, I don't know what.
What do you mean what he is?
I mean, he's so entertaining, but like, if he made it to Final Three, what are people thinking? Like, did he?
Okay, well, here's a question that I want to find out. Okay, so I felt like that Davey did a really good job this week with saving Christian because I think that Davey might be the one person who wants to go to the end with Christian because I think that he has in his back pocket, like, hey, I saved this guy with the idol. He wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for me that I saved him with an idol. We had to save him with the idol nullifier. Do you think that, does that hold any
water? Is that enough to win?
Well, to say like, hey, this guy, that he would have been voted out 5 times if it wasn't for us.
You could, Davey could have that perception, but that's Davey's perception. You know what I mean? You can sit there and tell yourself in your head, I'm going to beat this person and I know I'm going to because I did this, this, and this. What you need to happen is you need to make sure that the jury also sees it your way. You know, so Davey, if he feels it's a little similar to me and Wendell. Me saying I have no problem going to the end with Wendell because even though he's likable, I feel that I did this, 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 and this. The same way Davey can say that about Christian. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm going to say about Christian, though, that I don't know if anyone's picking up on it, but I did is – I mean, obviously people picked up on it. But if you watch – Christian in the challenges, right? Especially that long endurance one where he beat Alec. He goes on and speaks, right? And now there's no audience there. It's just the contestants and Jeff. Now, obviously, there's production behind the scenes, but you don't hear, there's nothing that you're seeing or hearing. You're listening to the other contestants in the game, and Jeff is standing there with you. And as you're sitting there as a contestant and listening to Christian do his spiel or say this or say that and getting a reaction out of Jeff. Now the contestants are seeing what Christian can do to an audience. Ah. Jeff is the audience. You understand? So if Jeff's laughing at things that Christian is saying, or Jeff is constantly coming back with follow-up questions for Christian, now as a player, I'm looking at it going, wow, he's impressing Jeff, which means he's going to impress the rest of these players I'm out here with. So that's something I'm taking into consideration as a player. If I'm watching Christian mesmerize Jeff all the time and leave him in awe of some of the things that he's spewing out of his mouth, that to me is a concern. And it's not because I'm concerned that Christian's getting more airtime than me. It's that I believe he's magnetic. If he can pull Jeff in, he's going to kick my ass at Final Three.
Because back in the day, if you would have pulled that with Jeff, Jeff would have told you to shut the F up.
Yeah. No. He was in better spirits then, I think, for a 6-hour challenge.
Back then?
Yes.
Well, how many times at Tribal Council did you get yelled at for talking?
Oh, well, the Tribal Council is different than at the Immunity Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would be Nicole's worst nightmare, to have to listen to somebody talk for six hours.
I would have told him to shut up.
Yeah, Nicole would have been like Alec in the challenge.
I would have voted him out.
Nicole would not have liked any part of that.
Oh my God, bro!
That would have been Nicole.
Yes,
she would have dropped off if Nicole had replaced Survivor.
Do you think Jeff really stood there for that long? Or do you think they swapped out?
Yeah, because what I mean, if somebody falls down and he's not there, what are they going to do? Go pick it up? I mean,
can we do a redo, please?
So he's got to stand there.
Is that like a world record for a challenge?
No. They've done challenges that have gone, you know,
the morning and ended at night.
Yeah,
right?
10 and 12 hours. So, but not recently. They don't do a lot like that.
The longest one I was in was, I think it lasted like 50 minutes, and that felt like an eternity. Of course, I was in the challenge, so it felt like an eternity. But even just sitting on the sideline, I would imagine it like an hour in the sun. It's like terrible. So 6 hours. I can't imagine what that must have felt like to sit there and just watch them for 6 hours. That's crazy.
And then having the spiel.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Mike? Do you think he would get any votes?
I think that Mike has come on here late in the game, where I think that he is somebody that he didn't really have a lot going on at the beginning of the merge, where he was on the wrong side of a couple of these votes. But I think that, you know, very quietly here, I think he's been very under the radar, where now, you know, this is a couple of votes in a row where he's been in the know. I just don't know. I mean, everybody knows his background.
Yeah.
If he gets to the end, you know, what would he have to say that people, you know, he's somebody who's had a lot of success outside of Survivor. I'm not sure that anybody would vote for him in the end, because I feel like that his game would have to be, it would have to be a game where you say, oh my God, like, how could I not give it to, like, almost like a Boston Rob in Redemption Island, where he's sitting there with Natalie and Philip. It's like, what choice do I have?
But somebody's personal finances, is that any, you know, is that really anybody's business on the island to not vote for them?
I mean, what do you guys think?
I don't know if it's anyone's business, but I think it definitely matters.
I think it matters, but I don't think the financial thing is Mike's problem. I just don't think he's that likable for me. I think
I like him a lot. I loved his speech. His boyfriend came out.
All right. Some people maybe do.
I don't think anybody dislikes him.
I don't think he's much of anything, though, as far as a presence in the game. But so to me, I would look at Mike, if I was playing with him, as like, let's take him to the end, because he'll create a non-factor. It'll be me versus one person instead of me versus two people.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for him, because his beard it seems like it's just so itchy all the time.
I
feel like he could talk a good game, but I don't see anything significant that he's done. He's not winning any challenges. He's not really seeming that strategic. He almost seems like he knows how to duck and cover or bob and weave so that his name is not really brought to the table. But I don't really see him presenting any plans that make him stand out to me as someone that deserves the win, regardless of what he makes financially. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he was the swing in the last vote, where, you know, nobody really knew or seemed to know what side he was on going into the vote against Carl. And then I think that he was part of the vote split, which happened, where him and Angelina were the two votes that ended up taking Gabby out of the game. And I think that was a really good move. But I think that Nick is going to, you know, be the person that's going to say, hey, I thought of that move. They were just the two votes that happened to go against Gabby. And then we were pretending like we had nothing to do with that, where, you know, maybe to make Christian think that that they were just going for Christian because that's what Gabby wanted to do. I'm not sure. I feel like that they're still trying to snow Christian on that, because they didn't try to talk to him about voting for Gabby. So I think that, but it seems like that was the four that ultimately, Davey, Nick, Angelina, and Mike. And I don't know if that four is going to be able to stick together.
Yeah, and that was the four that won the reward, right?
The four that won the reward. But Davey felt like that he wasn't really on board with that four, and he was the one that told Christian. And so to work off of this, I think that Christian did not see anything at that tribal council that caused him to play his idol. Dom, what do you make of this? Did Christian read the table, and that's what got him to play his idol, or was that theater?
Yeah, I heard you talk about this a few times this week. I think it was more than theater. In other words, I don't think it was to say, look how intelligent I am. I think it was for Christian to stare Gabby death in the eyes and be like, it's like the Fredo kiss. You know what I mean? In The Godfather, when Pacino kisses Fredo and says, you know, like, he's just this ultimate betrayal. Like, you're my blood. How could you do this to me? You know? And I feel like that death stare that he gave her at the end was like, yeah, I think I'm going to play it. And then she just was like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I disagree.
Okay.
I do. I don't think he thinks like that. I think that he genuinely, like, was trying to read her.
Okay.
Huh?
And just to give my 2 cents on it, I think that he did it intentionally, and he was going to play his idol all along, but he needed to, when they got back, Davey must have made him promise, like, hey, don't say anything to Nick that I told you to play your idol tonight. So then he gave Davey plausible deniability. So when Nick says, like, hey, how'd you know to play the idol? Like, oh, Gabby's face gave it away. I looked at Gabby. Yeah.
I don't think Christian thinks like that.
You don't? The guy thinks 300 miles an hour.
But I think that he also, I don't know. I think that he's also very logical. And I think that maybe he was just reading the situation.
But if you go back and look at it, the reason why I say what I say, Rob, what you're saying, I'm on board with. I feel like Davey's how are we going to do this so that I don't get thrown under the bus for letting the cat out of the bag?
Right.
So now he's saying, all right, I'll look around and make it like I'm observing the crowd and then deciding. But if you go back and look at how he looks, he does a quick look to everyone else, and then he like locks in on Gabby.
Yeah.
And that's why, like I said, it's almost like that, you know, that moment in The Godfather is like with Fredo. He just gives him the kiss and he's, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it could be, Gabby's it could be both things.
You broke my heart, Fredo. Yeah. You broke my heart.
Yeah. We have to see in the next episode if we have a scene when they come back from camp and it's like, well, how did you know to play the idol if he ends up throwing Gabby under the bus?
Or he can just tweet us and tell us.
Well, yeah. No, I don't do that. Don't do that. It's more fun when we can figure it out. And we'll have our opportunity, hopefully, to ask him these questions.
Yeah, I'd say it's along the lines of what you said, though. It's just to cover his ass to make sure that he was not the one that let the cat out of the bag.
That's funny. I was thinking about that when he was getting that information and then he was confronting Nick and like didn't say that Davey told him. Like, under normal circumstances, do people spill the beans? Or because, I don't know, what's the right thing to do?
Well, I think that Davey took a chance by telling Christian, hey, you got to play your idol. But I think that he probably made him swear up and down, like, hey, look, I that Nick would kill me if he found out that I did this. So you can't say anything to Nick.
And I think a lot of people would be like, screw that, I'm still saying something.
Well, but then, and then I think then Davey says, you know what, screw you, Christian. Now I'm on board with getting rid of you. I'm trying to help you.
Nicole, it's funny you say that, Nicole, because that happened to me in my season when Dez decided to go out of nowhere, pull a 180 and try to take Kellen out. And Laurel brought that information to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Dez and Chelsea are looking to make a move and take Kellen, you, and Wendell out.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Chelsea's been my girl in this game since day one. I have to have a conversation with her. And Laurel goes, please don't approach her. I said, Laurel, I have to approach her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like I need to hear it for myself.
Yeah.
And then it turned into a whole thing between Dez and Laurel.
Right. It was a big blow up. Exactly. So, I mean, for Davey and Christian to have that, you know, trust, and it seemed like it was the best way to execute it without exposing Davey's, you know, plausibility in the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. So I think that Davey's in a good spot because like he can sort of like ride the fence between Nick and with Christian. But I think that Nick is probably in a better spot because he's riding the fence between Davey and he's like the conduit to Angelina and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's amazing what Angelina, I feel like how she's just really sat back now for a little bit. I mean, I know she did the big rice negotiation in the last episode, but I feel like she sees people saying, we got this idea, we want to do this, this, this. And she's like, that fits my game plan. I don't need to be the head of this operation. I'll let them run with it. And you tell me where you want me to vote, I'll do it. And
that's to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something
you did the same thing.
I could relate to doing that a few times where it's like, you know what, let me just sit back and sit quiet and kind of sit out of this a little bit. So I was impressed by her ability to just tone down this week a little bit, especially after
Did a good job. I really thought that she was the next one to go after Dan went out, and now she's been able to sort of, now that's been 3 votes since Dan was gone, and now she went from being the decoy vote to now they're not even talking about
her.
That's what I'm saying. That is so impressive. Mm-hmm. And it's the hardest thing to do because your options are this: go up to everyone and be like, oh, listen, please, this, you know, or you can just say one thing to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
every minute of this game, something changes. Mm-hmm. If I have the ability to be patient enough to just shut my mouth and let something else arise, I can become an afterthought in this game. Mm-hmm. But it's so hard to do because you don't know if that moment's going to happen or not. So you want to cover your own ass and maybe try to, you know, justify things that you've done in this game with people. But sometimes you just have to gamble and say, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm going to go walk on the beach for 3 hours. And if they talk about me, they talk about me. But hopefully, fingers crossed, something else is going to explode and I won't even be there for it. And therefore, I'll be an afterthought at this point in the game.
Couple other people that we haven't talked about. Kristen, do you have any takes on Kara?
So I think Kara would be a good person to take to the end because I think she's like a, you know, like an Angela or like a Laurel. I don't think she's going to get, I think she'd be, I think if I was Christian or Angelina, I would take Kara and Mike.
Kara and Mike. Yeah, that would be a toss up.
Yeah.
See, I think Kara's doing a little more than what you're seeing. I mean,
I like her.
Yeah, she's good. I do enjoy her as well, but, you're right. She doesn't have any signature moves at this point. She did just win the last immunity, though, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something to talk about. But yeah, she kind of was in a vulnerable position earlier in the game, right? Where she was.
She was in
one of the swaps.
Well, yeah. After Natalia got voted out, she looked like that she could have been the next one to go if that group went to a tribal council. But really, her name hasn't come up much in the post merge game. She was really working hard. She wanted to get rid of Dan, and then ultimately they made that move without her. But she's quiet, but she seems well liked.
Agreed.
Yeah, definitely.
But she doesn't seem to be in a specific circle with anybody, does she?
Is that good or bad?
I mean, it's not good at this point in the game.
Well, because her two closest BFFs are gone. It was Dan and Alec.
Yeah. But if you think about it, like, if there, at this point, there are final four plans or, you know, people are already locking and loading themselves into a final four or final five. And if Kara's not in it, it's not good for her. The only thing you could hope for is. You know, it's hard. I don't know how you do it because once we knew who our final four was, it's like that wasn't changing, you know. And I think if people have the only difference about this season and my season, though, is that to me, it made sense that I'm locking it in with myself, Wendell, Laurel, and Ange, or Laurel and Donathan, because I thought any scenario like that, Wendell's my only competition. But this is different for Kara because – or any of the people that are remaining in the game because it's not that black and white. It's tough to beat anyone that's left in the game. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think Mike White might be the only one that's really someone that's a slam dunk to beat. But besides that, anyone could really present themselves in a way that you could sell me on voting for you because – at this point in the game, everyone seems to look like they're at least established in the game and are doing something.
I've heard a lot of people say things like, hey, don't sleep on Kara. She's still there. We've seen, you know, a winner sort of come out of nowhere to end up. Yeah, sure. It looks like they're under the radar, but then they end up emerging right at the end. But Dom, do you feel like that right now that, and we haven't seen somebody like that, you know, in the very recent seasons. I mean, I'm probably going back to Michelle in Koh Rong, where between the fire making challenge at four and the new final tribal council format, I almost feel like that the game is very much stacked against a player like that winning at this point.
Yeah. That's the thing, too. The final four fire making, you can base your game on how you've seen this game played for 30 something seasons, but it's just
different.
It's just different with the final four now because I've talked about it numerous times on how someone, even like Mike White, who's not done much of anything in this game at this point. But if he feels like he's got nothing to lose and he wins, you know, Final Four Immunity Challenge, and he's going to the end with, let's say, Kara and Davey or Nick, you know, Mike White could be like, Nick, me and you, fire making right now. Let's do this. and knock Nick out of the game. And now Mike White sitting at the end with Kara and maybe one other person that's not that significant in the game. And now all of a sudden Mike White, who I'm telling you at this moment, I don't think has done anything in the game. But now if I'm on the jury, I'm looking at Mike White saying, holy shit, this guy who's done really nothing this whole game just threw his balls on the table and put, yeah, his, put his life in the game. He just put it all – sorry. He put it all out there to say, look, I need to show you guys why I deserve to win. So this is that new dynamic where you don't know. Someone, yeah, that hasn't done much in the game all season can emerge as a victorious champion all of a sudden, mm-hmm, because of this twist. And I think that's what's – I think it's good. I like that because now it makes that person who you automatically assume is just a wild card or someone that's going to be a non-factor can come to life at the end of this game. And I think that's going to throw a nice monkey wrench in. But as far as like if we're taking the Kara type role, you're right. I don't know that it's really going to work out in favor for someone that's not doing much or standing out so much at this point.
Who's going out next?
If Christian doesn't find an idol, it's Christian.
It's Christian.
Christian.
Oh, that'd be sad.
I know. I hope he wins immunity.
But there could be, you know, there could be collateral damage in the event that he does find an idol. And let's assume that the four is still Angelina, Mike, Nick, and Davey.
Does anyone have an idol as of right now?
No, because Christian just played it, so there'll be a new one in play.
Nick has an idol.
Nick has an idol.
But there'll still be a fresh one in play.
They'll put a new one out there, yeah.
Okay, so Nick has an idol. Okay.
So Nick has an idol, yeah. I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens to this this four-pack of Davey, Nick, Angelina, and Mike. Because the fact that Davey tipped off Christian, where does that leave him? He said it at the reward that he's not sure if he fits in with that group, if he wants to work with them. So I'm curious if he's just going to play it off like he is still with them as a foursome just to maybe get intel. Mm-hmm. He could use that as his way of, you know, getting information and then piecing together any type of coalition that he wants to. And I think that I think he's in the best spot right now. I think this game is coming down to Davey, Nick, and Angelina.
And Angelina will take it because of how she speaks. Nick has no chance at final tribal speaking.
I disagree.
And I don't think Davey does either, but not against Angelina.
I had Gabby as my winner pick and Nick as my next winner, and I still think this is Nick's game.
Mm-hmm.
But Davey is bringing it on. Davey is bringing it on. And I like the way Angelina is changing her strategies and her ways. And I think she's got a real shot. So for me, it's Davey, Nick, and Angelina, final three, and possibly Mike as final four. I think the four that we're talking about that were at the reward is the final four in this game.
So my question about Angelina is that – the public view of Angelina, do you think that that's how her castmates feel about her? Or what do we call them? Yeah,
is the perception of her that we see on the TV show the same as what we see on the TV show? And I think that in some ways it is similar. In other ways, it's probably not the same. But I do think, you know, I've heard in secret scenes that Christian talked about Angelina as seeing her as somebody who she always has an agenda. Every time she's talking, she's trying to, you know, she's up to something. I've heard Nick call her selfish in the secret scene. So I think that they definitely have a perception of her. But I don't know if it's a dislike in any way. But I definitely think that they feel like that she is
little like villain-esque
political, I would say, more so than so than villainous,
because I reround a few times when she came out and was saying to her mom, you know, I gave up immunity so that my tribe could eat, and the mom turned around and said something, I kept rewinding it to look at their faces and no one rolled their eyes. They were kind of just like,
mm-hmm,
I felt like they were all in it.
They rolling them on the inside.
What I'm trying to figure out.
That's a vulnerable moment. So you get a pass at that moment. If you say something like that in that moment, you might not, you know, think anything of it. But if she was to make a claim like that in a different circumstance, then people might be like, all right, you know, who does she think she is?
Yeah, this is Angelina being Angelina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let me say something about it. Even if people have a negative connotation towards a player, like even Noble, right? Chris Noble, like I'm playing the game with him. Stuff coming out of his mouth was so ridiculous. I was like, this guy has got to be kidding me. And in the beginning, it's so wild and outlandish that you just can't even believe it. And then after 2 weeks of living with him, it's like par for the course. Like, of course Chris said that. You know what I mean? So, and again, I'm not – if there is this – again, not to say that they dislike Angelina, but if there are like comments and confessionals where you hear people speaking in a negative connotation about maybe some of the things she's saying – It doesn't necessarily mean that at this point they're not used to it. And if they're used to it, you kind of have a different what will happen is you'll start to find things positive about that person because it's almost like the outrageous comments aren't even outrageous to you anymore.
It's just normal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's like if that person now does something good, now you can build on some positive aspect of that player. And if you can leave, if Angelina can leave that positive, whatever it may be, on the other players, that would be her way to win this game. Because all the things she said in this game, right, to certain people that are from different parts of the country that don't see or hear things the way Angelina does, they're like, what the hell did she just say? Mm-hmm. And I know. I know that firsthand. You know, I suffered the same thing because things I said that I thought – what do you mean? I'm not being brash. This is how I speak and this is how I expect to be spoken to.
Yeah.
But so she's suffering from that same thing where she's like, she doesn't see that it's rubbing people the wrong way. But if she can figure out a way to turn it, she's got a way to leave a positive stamp on the people she's playing with.
Right. And this is how Mike described her in the last episode.
And in a way she's right, but she still is aggravating every step of the way.
Which I think is sort of like at the crux of it, like she has a lot of good points, but
it's a hard delivery
in terms of, you know, ruffling or rustling feathers along the way. she's not as worried about that. And we'll see how that bodes for her. Should she reach the end of the game?
And I think if we have a jury that wants to be stroked like in season 36, that's going to be where she doesn't win.
That's interesting. Huh.
Stroked.
Everybody wants to be stroked.
All right. Easy. Yeah, take it easy. All right. Before we get to some questions from the listeners on that note, Nicole, let me just take a moment and thank our friends over at canvaspeople.com. Canvas People, Kristen, it's a great gift for anybody on your list because they can take a photo on your phone or your camera and turn it into a gorgeous canvas work of art. It's such a thoughtful gift.
And it's so easy to do.
Very easy to do. Just upload. You do it on your phone, right?
Yeah, it takes like 30 seconds.
30 seconds. And especially people are like looking at the calendar like, didn't get for this person. You can get this great offer, 11 by 14 canvas photo for free. You just pay the shipping and the handling with Canvas People. Just text the word RHAP to 797979. Nicole, how many Canvas People have you made? Well, over or under 6 million?
Probably over, seriously.
Nicole?
I got a new one.
I got one
for you.
Dude, you like this one of me and Steven that's hung up on the wall behind me?
It's
beautiful. Yes. You're speechless.
That's one word to describe it.
Yes. Canvas People, it's the most thoughtful gift that you could get for somebody this time of year or any time of year. Start decorating your walls with all of these photos and don't just post them on Instagram and then they don't get a lot of likes and then you forget about them. Put them where people will give you.
And you'll get real likes.
Real likes.
Yeah.
Yes. What is that like? When people say, hey, I like this.
People do that?
I'm not sure. I don't have a lot of people over here.
They will do that with the Canvas photos.
So right now, very limited holiday offer. CanvasPeople.com is offering their popular 11 by 14 Canvas photo for free. That's right, for free. Normally, it's a $69.99 value. But for this week, you'll pay nothing. Just cover the shipping and the handling to get your free Canvas. Text RHAP to 797979. You just pay the shipping and the handling. This offer won't last. Text RHAP to 797979. That's RHAP to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. Now, Would you guys consider, would you go on a double date with Christian and Emily before you go on another double date with us?
Ooh, watch that answer.
I don't know.
No.
I think I would spend the whole time
thinking about us. Do you think they drink martinis? Because if so, I would go with them.
Christian drinks.
Yeah.
I think it would be a great idea to have the six of us go out on a
Yes.
Kristen, what would your reaction have been if when you were leaving, Dom said this
to
you?
Sorry, loved ones, time for you to head back.
Enjoy the flight home. Watch movies.
You go watch a movie.
That's just, wait, play that again. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, this is what he said to Emily on the way out.
Enjoy the flight home. Watch movies.
It's like, don't let the door kick you on the way out.
Yeah.
Watch movies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's so funny.
Yeah, I think I was like, babe, get it together. Check on the kids. Get home. Pay the bills. Mow the lawn.
Actually,
to mow the lawn. What?
I don't know.
The first thing he asked me, Nicole, was how is the checkbook?
Well,
that was literally the first question.
That's better than how's the lawn.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? I know that she's like, in her mind, she's like, he's on this 7-week adventure in Fiji. I'm buying myself whatever I want while he's gone.
To treat myself.
So I got worried. Bills weren't getting paid.
And the lawn wasn't mowed?
I'm going to let the grass grow while he's gone.
There's going to be weeds everywhere. Screw him.
The lawn's going to be longer than that filthy beard he's got. That's it. That's her way of revolting against me. It was a serious concern of mine.
Oh, my God.
She told me before I left, I have this trip booked. We're going here while you're gone. I'm taking the kids here. And then I'm going to PA for this. I was like, oh, my God.
Pennsylvania?
We're gonna be dead. I was almost – well, our best friend lives there. Oh. I was like, I have to win the million just to break even by the time I get home.
Oh, yeah.
Serious concern I had.
Okay.
What would be your final words to me?
Your final word that I'll be home soon. Don't worry.
And I would say – not without that million.
All right, but that's a lot of pressure.
Well, then it would put some fire under your butt.
I guess so. I mean, it wasn't like I'm not trying to win before you came to remind me.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, what did you say? Did you give me any advice?
Well, when he originally left, when you originally left, like from home, you know, before the game started, I said to you, you better win. But I don't think
that was after 7 weeks of resentment.
But then by the time I got out there,
and then she was like, yeah. 2 days before I left, she's like, all right, you have my blessing. Go win. Mm-hmm. I was like, great. That's encouraging.
Kristen, what do you think of the jacket gate this season?
I loved it. I thought that was hysterical.
That was a great moment. Would you have given your jacket to a player after you got voted out?
I think I would have.
She's
you say no?
Because if someone hurt you, if you were hurt by a player.
No, but I think I would be the kind of player that would turn around like some of them do and say, this was an amazing experience. I love you all.
You would give death eyes. You take off your jacket, you throw it in the fire. You'd be like,
that's great. That's great.
Oh, my God. Throwing it in the fire. That's such a good idea.
You ain't getting any. I know, because when I pick a fight with you, you make sure you drive it home. You know what I mean? Like, it's just never a peaceful summit where we walk away. It's always, you know, you like to make sure that your voice is heard.
You got the last word.
I do think it's interesting though going forward that it should be something that you think about when you're picking. When I know you don't get full like choice of what you're going to wear, but you could sort of suggest. And I think having a jacket or wool socks is, or even like a rain jacket,
that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like a piece of strategy.
I had read that Tyler Perry told Jeff that they should have less clothes on this season, and he said, okay. And that's why they have less clothes. Why is Tyler Perry so invested in Survivor?
Oh.
When did you guys get the bathing suits at the merge?
We got at the merge. Do they still? They still don't have
theirs?
Yeah,
they don't have the bathing suit.
That's insanity.
Thanks, Tyler Perry.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
Insanity. You're right. They don't have their bathing
You're
suits
right.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's crazy about
that? I really
that?
Hate
and you
that.
Could see, like, bathing suits are getting tied up like underwear, if you look at the side,
it's like bras hanging.
Shorts, bras. Yeah, so like they have to like tie them up, or you know, just to tighten everything up. It's crazy. That's.
I mean, they definitely do look more shipwrecked. I remember that they do. About it. They definitely look shipwrecked.
I remember.
Like, Gabby looked like she was going to break.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the bathing suit thing. I mean, I just don't really like to see people in their underwear, but I guess it's
I like it.
Yeah, Nicole doesn't like it either.
Well, just you.
You don't like to see me in my underwear?
Just kidding. It's what's under the underwear that counts.
Okay. All right. This is a question. Felipe Chimon wants to know: is Kristen in any mom's Facebook groups, or is that just a Nicole thing?
Oh, I'm in a lot of mom's Facebook
and they're
group.
All crazy, right?
How's that going?
Yeah, they're.
She's the ringleader.
No. But I love to like
read the comments.
I love to like post and run. So like someone will write something controversial, I'll write something like even more controversial, and then I'll just run away and disappear. Like I don't get into it. Like I'm not one of those that
but
I.
But then
go
don't
back
you get a bunch of notifications?
But what kind of controversy? Like mom controversy?
Like Oh, so like the most recent one was about traveling to Mexico. Someone posted something about how, you know, if you travel to Mexico with your family, you're a terrible mother because it's so dangerous, whatever.
What?
So have you heard that Mexico is not super safe? I don't know. It's people here think like going to Mexico is like the worst thing.
Okay, so going down the block sometimes isn't very safe.
All right. On that note.
No, so I just posted something saying like, you know, I just went to Mexico. It was great. I'm going to take my kids back. And I got like a million, people that tagged me,
This is her PG version. It's probably. Yeah. The woman who says she's going to give her jacket to somebody. See, she hits and runs.
Yeah. Hey, she's saying that Mexico is a nice place to visit. She's being very open-minded.
It doesn't matter the topic. Like she said, if she disagrees with it, she's going to let you know it.
I just saw on one of my mom's Facebook groups that they were mommy shaming somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody left their 6-year-old
in the car
at Costco,
that was just on mine also.
Yeah, wait, is somebody posting this in all the groups?
I'm defending this person though, but because here's my defense is that okay? Probably not a great idea, but it was like debatable on whether it was legal or not legal. Yes, it probably wasn't safe. But was it necessary to post a picture of the mother's car?
Oh, so the mom in the group wasn't there. That somebody's kid. And now, again, this happened recently.
This happened like 2 days ago.
All right.
And somebody posted a picture of the car with the license plate. But there was like no child. Like, what was the purpose of mommy shaming this person? Like, you did not need to post the picture. But this is how these people are.
What people? Are your moms on Facebook?
I would never do that.
2 days ago on the local news, someone is in jail right now because he left his 1-year-old and 3-year-old on a freezing day in New York in the car. Mm-hmm. And someone watched the car for 10 minutes and then realized he wasn't coming out and called the cops, and he's in jail.
Well, that is the right thing to do, not posting it on Facebook and saying.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's go back to talking about
people are running to their cars now to get their kids out.
I mean, I know all this mom talk is so fun.
People are crazy. I just like to read the comments.
Okay. Gregory McBean wants to know, if the four of you were on a blood versus water season, who do you think would go the furthest? Who would be out the earliest?
Ooh.
I'd be at first.
No.
So blood versus water, we would be on opposite tribes of our spouses, Rob. So you and I would be on the same team.
It'd be me and Kristen and you and Dom.
Ooh. Yeah. I say, well, why do we have to merge? What's wrong with what's going on here?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Why
can you decline the merge? Can you decline it?
why do they defer? Have to change the tribes up? This is fine.
We can just finish the game. We'll whack the money up four ways.
Yeah. Kristen, would you like that more? Would that be more palatable for Dom going back if you also went?
We could do a nanny share.
Maybe. I mean, it does sound, it's just impossible, but it does sound like definitely easier and better. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Easier and better, Dom.
For me, I wouldn't be able to play. I wouldn't be able to play as well. And I think Jeremy talked about it, how like the second time he played it, he didn't have that burden of worrying about his wife. And also the burden of worrying about what's going on at home. When your spouse is not at home watching what's going on at home, now you're worrying about your spouse on the other tribe, and you're worried about who's watching my kids right now. So for me, it's not an ideal situation whatsoever for her to come out and play Blood versus Water.
But it'd be such good TV.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be fine. It would be fine television.
I would be such bad TV because I would be the one crying about my kids, missing them.
Yeah.
It would be dumb.
You'd have a lot of fine golden moments. I'm sure of it. You'd have a lot of golden moments. And
I'd rather do The Amazing Race with Nicole.
Oh, I'd be terrible.
But you and Nicole on The Amazing Race as what? Like the...
I think that would be TV gold, but I would be a nightmare.
Reality wives? You guys are going to go be on a team together?
You both would be a nightmare. It would be great.
You know what? This would be the best team.
It would be good casting.
This would be the best.
To be fair, it would be because they want people that are going to fight with other people. Yes. Yeah. They don't want enough more of these boring teams on these shows.
It definitely won't be boring.
You guys wouldn't take shit from anybody.
Oh,
be
hell
great.
No.
Yeah.
And I think I could do The Amazing Race because it seems like there's really not a lot of downtime. Aren't you moving the whole time?
Would that be the problem, the downtime?
Yeah, the downtime. I would just miss my kids just sitting there. Yeah.
See, I think that it would be better with Kristen than with you because you would make me do all the challenges. And I feel like me and Kristen, like, we can both hold our own.
I would make you do all the challenges. We have talked about the physical ones.
Yes. The man challenges.
Why? That you have to be a man to jump off a building?
Right.
Well,
bungee jumping, you have to be a man to do that? That's very sexist.
Most men would step up and say, honey, let me do this for you.
I want you to be able
Dom,
to have
fun. What would you do?
Have
would you
fun.
Do it?
I don't think it's a man's job to milk a llama. You know, I think anybody can do that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's anybody's job to really milk a llama.
Yeah. I don't even know how we got
into
this.
What if they make us shave our head? Remember that season? When they had the woman had to shave her head.
Yeah,
what was her name?
Oh yeah. Yes, that's right.
Was that Euchenna and Joyce?
Would one of us have to do it or both?
That's right. Yes, yes.
The female wife had to do it. She had long black curly hair, just like me, and she had to shave her head to get to the clue.
To get to the next stop. Yeah, yeah. I think that was one of the roadblocks.
Who would shave our head? Would it be me or you?
I think we'd have to do rock, paper, scissors. Literally scissors.
Okay.
17 times. Best out of 20?
Yeah.
Best out of 30?
Now, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the big Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League, which Dominic is the commissioner of. It's been a very controversial league. With 11 Survivor players and Dalton Ross, and this was the first round of the playoffs, and the forgotten guy who snuck into the playoffs at 6-7.
He likes to toot his own horn.
Who I compared this to, you know, basically playing a hidden immunity idol, and then somehow saving myself at Tribal Council last week, snuck into the playoffs, and I had a first round matchup with Mr. Dominic Abate. And I've been so busy with this podcast, I'm not even following what's going on.
Oh, I can tell you, you're winning by a healthy 52.8 points, Rob. And my playoff and fantasy football career will be over.
Your career is over?
My season will be over tomorrow around 11 p.m.
But didn't this happen before where Rob was up like a ton of points and then you came in and beat him?
Yes, that happened on a Monday night earlier this season. So
yeah, I'm not getting 52 points from it. Yeah, no.
I'm 6-7, I've had a couple of hard luck losses in this league. Mm-hmm.
And it's shameful that a record of 6-7 made the playoffs, but it did.
It is shameful, but I had like, you know, the fourth or fifth most points.
I feel like you've complained about people who have been in this position.
Look, what am I going to do? nobody else was better than me. It was a very top-heavy league that there was some really good teams and there were some really bad teams.
And I can officially congratulate you on advancing to week number 2.
Well, it's not over yet. Kyle Rudolph could get 8 touchdowns on Monday night. So we still have to see how it goes.
Okay. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, it would be very exciting if I move on to play Jeremy in the next round and then have him on the podcast this week.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That could happen.
Yeah, so we'll see. Right. Nicole, was there anything else that you wanted to say? With the Abates.
Oh, I think we covered everything that was in my brain.
All right. Kristen, did you have any other thoughts on this season?
Well, thank you for having us because I'm hoping this helps me heal a little bit, because when I watch all, when I go on Facebook and Twitter and see all these people trashing the loved ones episode,
I think you say trashing the other moms.
No, that's trashing the loved ones episode in general, but I take it so personally that people hate it.
But why are people taking the time to bash the loved ones?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wasn't even on this season, but I still, I don't know. That's how I feel. Why do you even watch it then?
People bash everything and everybody. It's what you're willing to let absorb you is what everybody's.
Well, I think for me, it's because it was a hard experience. Yes. And by bashing the loved ones episode, you're saying that if you think that this was hard, you're a joke. There are people that go in the military, come back.
Right.
You know.
Oh, come whatever. On.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you for having us.
Okay. Well, Dom, that it is, we'll see you soon, because you are going to be stepping in for Stephen Fishback at the big Know-It-Alls season finale. Stephen Fishback is going to be off on his honeymoon. And so Dominic is going to be stepping in and joining us to talk about everything that goes on the finale. And we have another special guest who is going to be with us as well.
Who's that?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we announcing that person?
Sure. We can announce another member of the Rotten Coconuts Fantasy Football League, who is also going to be joining us.
A fellow runner-up.
To talk about how the ramifications of the Final Four and everything. Chrissy Hofbeck will also be joining us.
Ooh, la, la.
To talk about everything at the finale. What a show.
Can I just say, what an honor to be asked to fill in for Mr. Fishback while he's away on his honeymoon. This is something that
he'll probably be watching live from wherever he is.
I only hope probably. To fill a fraction of his shoes.
He rarely misses an episode, so he'll be glued to a computer or an iPad. So myself, Dom, Chrissy, live after the finale coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Yep, very much looking forward to it. And
that's
again,
a good show, right, Nicole?
It sounds great.
Nicole said she might even watch.
Nicole, you don't go to the finale?
I haven't been, and I think the only
you one, guys got her.
You
out.
Guys got me into it. You guys got me back into Survivor.
I was gonna say you really? you have pull, right? You can get your hands on a ticket.
Well,
but we don't go to the show. I just want to go to the party.
I've been there for the last couple of seasons, and then Steven isn't going to be around, so I want to make sure that we have a proper podcast recap mm-hmm. after the episode, and then I'll head out for a little bit with Nicole after we get done with the recap.
A kidless night.
Yes,
we'll be sure to be puking the next day.
fun night. Those are fun times. That was a fun night. We went out for the finale. That was fun. It was worth it. Waking up hungover, no sleep, worth every minute. Got to meet you guys for the first time.
Yes.
Loved
you guys
every
have
minute
to come
it.
Back out for the finale. You have to come back to Los Angeles for
one
of them.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening this season. Sure.
He can't even lie.
Okay. On social media, if you want to follow first Dominic Abate, that's Dominic _ Abate, and then Kristen on Twitter. Do you prefer Twitter or Instagram?
Right? Yours is the same for both?
I don't really have a preference. I think it is the same.
Okay. Yours is the same as Kristen _, right?
No. Well,
I should know that.
Awkward.
No, it's just Kristen. It's just Abate Kristen.
Yeah, it's Abate Kristen.
Neither one of them know.
No _.
I've been talking to another Kristen this whole time.
All right. Well, go ahead and follow.
See, this is what's going to cause the split.
Yeah. Follow Kristen on Twitter to find out what.
This is the beginning, Nicole.
I told you, it's a curse.
What a woman said to her at this CrossFit Christmas party that's too controversial to even repeat on this podcast.
What?
Wait, what? Say that again.
Oh, yes. Your tweet.
Yes.
Oh, Twitter. That was the best.
Let's just read it.
I don't think I can.
No, don't read it.
Too controversial.
No.
Yes. I need to go check it out. Okay.
Nicole, my point was that
all right.
that when a girl gives you a compliment, it's better coming from a girl than a guy. That's all my point was.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
I have to get the context of the tweet.
I'll let you read it after the podcast. All right.
I'll text you later.
Guys, thank you so much. I appreciate you carving out some time to talk to us. And then, Dom, I'll talk to you soon, okay?
You got it, guys. Thanks so much. I'll talk soon.
Bye, guys. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The Abate is here on a double date edition of Rob Has a Podcast. Nicole has already run downstairs, so I'll bring you home here the rest of the way talking about what's coming up this week. And, of course, before we get to this week, so many great podcasts in the last week. Of course, Tyson, the Bryce feedback show from this weekend, the Robin Akiva Need a Podcast season 3 episode 7 recap of the 90s show Dinosaurs, and then we've got the Wiggle Room still to come this week, News AF, and then I'll be back at it with Steven on Wednesday night before I talk to Jeremy and Val, got an exit interview, and maybe even some more bonus podcasts along the way, and Mike Bloom on the feedback show. So a jam-packed week here the whole way through for the rest of the Survivor David versus Goliath season. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much to the support of our Rob's Podcast patrons. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.